Hi everyone and welcome to another podcast. For anyone listening to this for the first time, I'm Tim Cook, one of the ministers at Penrith Methodist Circuit. Together with my colleague Dave Milner, we're producing one of these podcasts each week while we're unable to meet together as church. It seems so strange to be speaking into a microphone and staring at my laptop screen rather than us all being in church together. It feels really detached and remote. And yet despite this, I do believe that whilst we cannot be physically together, we remain in communion with one another. We're still brothers and sisters joined together as family. We are God's children and can all feel and know the presence of our amazing God and Father with us wherever we are. Let's spend a moment in prayer, shall we? Let us pray. Loving God, it is good to be reminded that wherever we are, you are with us. Thank you that you promise never to leave us or forsake us. So we praise you and thank you for your presence with us. We also praise you that we are your children and part of your worldwide family, joined together by your love. You have given us our belonging and identity in you, and we thank you that you unite us as one people through your Son, Jesus. In fact, through what Christ did on the cross, you are reconciling all of your creation to you. Thank you that even in these challenging and difficult times, we can be assured of your love and that you are the God who reigns. May we know you standing beside us. May we experience your arms holding us. May we hear your voice calling our name. And may we let you continue to lead us and care for us. For we offer ourselves to you now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to hear two short passages from Scripture now. Deb and Fred Setters will share with us, first of all, a reading from Genesis chapter 2, and then one from Exodus chapter 20.
Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation.
Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy.
As we all dwell in the midst of this coronavirus, it seems like the world has turned upside down, doesn't it? Many are quite understandably asking, where is God in all of this? How can our faith speak into this situation? Now, I don't believe for a second that God sent this pandemic or even willed it to happen. No, I think we are where we are as a consequence of us living in a broken world where there is still sorrow and illness and death. We still have droughts and tsunamis and famine and war. All of creation groans, says the Apostle Paul, while it waits in sin and suffering for God to restore creation to its perfect end. One day, I believe God will bring about a new perfect creation. But until then, we wait. However, what I also believe is that God can teach us some lessons in this alien territory we find ourselves in. Romans 8 tells us that in all things God can work for the good of those who love him. So I do think that there are things that God is saying to us right now, if we have ears to hear. And as I've personally tried to listen to God's voice, I'm becoming more and more convinced of one particular thing that I believe God is trying to tell me. Today I want to share this thing with you. Because the chances are that if this is a message that I need to hear, then quite probably others might benefit from hearing it too. Let's rewind for a minute. I wonder how you are all coping with the isolation of coronavirus. Now, I know that there are many, many people still working extremely long hours in very hard and trying circumstances. Our NHS staff and care workers, postmen and women, police, council workers, teachers, and so many others are doing amazing work looking after us all. We praise God for them. But for lots of us, life seems to have ground to a halt, doesn't it? For some, you will no doubt be quietly enjoying this enforced retreat. No work, no pressures on time, no one to have to see or engage with. Some are naturally very happy in their own company and are no doubt relishing the opportunities lockdown brings for solitude and more me time. For others, though, seclusion might be driving you crazy. You miss being with friends and family. People who are naturally sociable, extroverts especially, will really miss engaging with others and being in the company of different people. And then there are those who may be a bit like me, feeling like a coiled spring being trapped in a confined space, itching to be released. You see, I love being active. It's part of my DNA. I am energized by leaping from one task or activity to the next, whether that's work-related or not. I confess to even making lists of things to do when I'm on holiday. So I really struggle in these times of less activity. I still try to keep busy, phoning people and attending to pastoral needs especially. I'm writing these podcasts and producing radio services and news bulletins. I've even painted the entire fence around our house and attempted a bit of gardening too, even though I've no idea what I'm doing. Every day I find myself trying to fill the space this void is creating and feel lost in the periods of inactivity. I look at what other churches and ministers are doing and I feel guilty that I'm not keeping up. Perhaps I should organise more interactive Sunday worship on Zoom, produce daily prayers on Facebook, try to keep life as it was before with meetings on Skype or FaceTime. I need to prove that I'm still busy. Maybe I should make even more phone calls each day to keep active. And yet, despite these feelings of frustration and even of guilt, the one overriding message I keep hearing God telling me is this. Stop. Just stop. You see, I think God is trying to teach me something about his gift of Sabbath. I've always struggled with the concept of Sabbath. I much prefer the stories in the Gospels of Jesus seeming to flout Sabbath laws when he's picking corn or going on a journey or healing and working on the Sabbath. Sabbath is, after all, just a day. Jesus said Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And that's been my theology too. But perhaps there's something fundamental that I've been missing. Yes, Sabbath is just a day. It's Saturday for Jews. But the whole idea of Sabbath was to provide something called menuha. Menuha is a Hebrew word meaning rest. But it actually means far more than just the absence of activity. It means to take delight and joy in stillness, in tranquility, in restfulness. Earlier, Debs read to us the end of that creation poem found in Genesis. Over 6 days, God had been busy making stuff. Stars, planets, seas, vegetation, animals, people. And then on the seventh day, God did something else. It says God rested. Menuha. It is described in the Genesis poem as a thing that God did, just like the things of the other days. It was as important to include this thing on the seventh day as the other things on the other days. In fact, the seventh day was the very climax, the crescendo to creation. Creation was incomplete until God was able to delight in it on the seventh day and rest. God didn't rest because God got tired. It was never about replenishing God's batteries. No, it was because God wanted to enjoy all that was now about him. In the other reading that Fred shared from Exodus, we read of observing Sabbath as being part of the Ten Commandments. Twice, as Moses instructs the people to keep the Sabbath as holy, he tells them the reason is to embrace menuha, to rest. Remember, the Jewish people had been liberated as slaves from Egypt. They had had no rest there. They were forced to make bricks every hour of every day, and now they're invited to rest. Menuha was part of their liberation. It was central to them finding their freedom. Here's the thing. Our God is a Sabbath-loving God who made menuha, rest, as part of his design for creation. It is restfulness, not restlessness, that is central to God's intention for his people. And rest is not just not doing anything. Restfulness is a thing in itself. So perhaps God is telling me that I can never experience the fullness of life he wants me to know unless I embrace and accept and delight in his rest. Come to me, Jesus says in Matthew 11, all of you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And when you think about it, rest is something that's built into our world, isn't it? In a piece of music, you have rests contained between the notes on the score. And without the rests, all you'd have is noise. It's the rests that turn the noise into a thing of beauty. In architecture, designers will tell you that the space between the bricks and the buildings are as important as the structures themselves. Space is what gives meaning to the construction. It gives context. Even in our breathing, there is a natural pause, a rest, between each time we inhale or exhale. I need to take on this concept of Sabbath rest, of menuha. Rest for me has only ever been a way of gaining energy to go on and do the next thing. It has been a means to an end. Perhaps what I need is to see it as an end in itself. God made me a human being, not a human doing. And one of the lessons of this enforced lockdown for me is to learn to love just being and resting and delighting in all of God's blessings. Rest, I need to learn, is not a pseudonym for laziness. It's God's gift of abiding in the beauty of the fullness of his love. And so, in this season that I didn't want and never asked for, I am not going to organise more Zoom meetings. I am not going to write a list of projects to do. I am not going to write sermons for the next year. I'm not going to feel guilty about resting. I'm going to learn to stop more. I'm going to embrace rest, menuha. I'm going to listen for that still, small voice of God. I'm going to pause and let God hold me and hug me. And I'm going to enjoy resting in his embrace. Amen. Let's come to God in prayer now. But before we launch into even more words, let's pause for a moment in silence. Loving and gracious God, thank you for all your blessings to us. Thank you that you have given us rest, menuha. Thank you that you want us to delight in you and all your creation. Will you give us the will and the freedom to enjoy your Sabbath rest? Help us to embrace stillness as your gift and to be content resting in you. God, we are aware, though, that in this time of enforced rest, there are so many who are working themselves to the bone. We thank you for all of those who tirelessly work to keep our world ticking. especially in these days we lift before you the doctors, nurses, porters, cleaners, ambulance crews and all of those working in our NHS. We remember the care workers, council workers, postmen and women, police and armed forces, teachers, funeral directors, supermarket staff, so many others who are sacrificing their own rest for our well-being. Will you uphold them all in your arms of love? Sustain and energise them and keep them safe and well, we pray. We pray for all of those working at finding a vaccine for this coronavirus, for all of those who are making PPE equipment, for those who are making testing possible. Merciful God, we remember all of those who are sick or dying or grieving. Will you be their comfort and their peace? And please, God, in your infinite grace, will you bring an end to this virus and heal your world, we pray. For we lift all of these prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all, now and always. Amen.